Take your Bibles, turn with me to 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17. John wrote these words, of course, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. The key words in this verse are the words, as He is, so are we in this world. Oh, if only we who are Christians genuinely believe that as He is, so are we in this world. What victory there would be. What glory there would be. What ministry there would be. There is a doctrine of the Christian faith that all of us who are believers need to understand and experience in our daily lives. A doctrine is the belief that we who know the Lord accept and affirm on the basic, as a basic principle based on the Word of God, and we have faith derived from the Word that this is where we stand on particular doctrines. For example, there's the doctrine of God. There's the doctrine of man. There's the doctrine of sin. There's the doctrine of salvation. There is the doctrine of the second coming. And the list goes on and on. The doctrine I want to talk with you about for a few minutes this morning is the doctrine of identification. I wonder how many of you have ever heard a sermon on the doctrine of identification. Now, identification simply means that the Lord Jesus Christ becomes one with us, that we might become one with Him. Christ in us, and us in Christ. It was Jack Taylor, the pastor of Castle Hills First Baptist Church in San Antonio years ago, who wrote so many good books on Christians experiencing victory in Jesus, who said this: in identification, our freedom is declared. Our wealth is discovered. Our past is forgiven. Our future is fixed. Our victory is secure now and forever. Now, there's no doubt that the reality of our identification with Christ is a mystical union that none of us who are believers will ever fully understand. It's deep, but I tell you this, praise the Lord, we may not understand it completely, but we can certainly enjoy it totally. Now, as Christians, our identification with the Lord Jesus Christ is a truth to be believed. It is an event to be experienced. It is a process to be pursued, and it is a life to be lived. Now, when a Christian discovers the truth that Jesus is in him or her, and that they are in Jesus, and begins to walk in that dimension, the devil must accept it as a personal defeat. And the power of darkness, the powers of darkness must begin to fall back in retreat. Amen. Now, believe me, if you are a Christian, Satan does not want you to know who you are in Christ. He'll do all he can to keep you blind to the truth that Christ is in you and that you are in Him. Well, if you were to begin to live your life based on the fact that Christ is in you and you're in Him, the devil, the plan he's developed to keep you groveling about in the ditch of spiritual defeat would be instantly devastated. Make no mistake about it. Satan knows just how high the stakes are. And that's the reason he's doing everything in his diabolical power to keep Christians from realizing, as Jesus is, so are we who belong to Him in this world. We are as He is. He is in us, and glory to God, we are in Him. Now, to really understand the meaning and the implications of the doctrine of identification, there are two areas we must consider. To begin with, we must deal with His identification with us, and then we must talk about our identification with Him. His identification with us. There would be no possibility of any union between us and Jesus if God had not taken the initiative. Christian, we are one with Him because He chose to become one with us. Let me share with you several scriptures that affirm the Lord's identification with us. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For He made Him to be sin for us, Him who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Romans 5:8, "But God demonstrates His own love toward us, that while we were sinners, Christ died for us." And Christ died for us literally means He died instead of us. He died in our place. Then, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 and 24. "For to this were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow His steps, who Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree." And the tree, of course, is the cross of Calvary. Now, I want you to turn with me in the Old Testament to Isaiah 53. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 3 when we get there. And I want you to know that this is the most graphic description in the entire Word of God concerning the Lord's identification with us. Isaiah 53, beginning with verse 3. "He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised, and we did not esteem Him." Now listen, "Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all." Christian, think about what Jesus did for you and me. And if you don't know Christ today, we're going to give you the opportunity to trust in Him before you leave this service, or before you end up leaving this message and cutting it off wherever you are in the world today. "He became the Son of Man that we might become the sons of God. He became guilty that we might be made innocent. He bore our griefs that we might be filled with joy. He became a prisoner that we might be set free. He was beaten with stripes." Oh, the scourge. Oh, how much He endured. "He was beaten with stripes that we might be healed. And He entered into Hades so that we might enter into heaven." The Lord's identification with us was complete. I mean, He did not need to do anything that He did for Himself. He did it all for us. He left glory and became the greatest servant who ever lived for us. He who knew no sin became sin for us. He allowed Himself to be crucified on the cross for us. He died and entered the realm of death for us. He arose and walked out of the tomb triumphantly for us. And one of these days, He is going to return to this earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and He's going to do that for us. Those of us who know Him as Lord and Savior. Now, folks, the Lord's identification with us is a given. I mean by that, it is an undeniable fact. It happened because Jesus was willing to be absolutely obedient to all the Father desired Him to do. His instant response was yes to everything that was the Father's will. John 5:30, He said, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. In John 6:38, here are the words of Jesus. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. What about our identification with Him? At the outset, it is vital for us to realize that His identification with us was so complete that our identification with Him might also be complete. But let me hasten to say this. The marvelous privilege that we have as Christians of entering into the totality of our identification with the Lord and experiencing all that it means depends on our willingness to be obedient to the Father's will in our daily lives. Now listen to this. Praise the Lord. Christ completed His obedience that we might through our obedience be blessed by all the obedience He accomplished. Christ in us is our hope of glory. Christ in us is our hope of being all that God desires for us to be. Now, there's only one way for us as Christians to be obedient to the Father's will. Folks, we must choose to live under the Lordship of Christ continually. What that means in simple terms is that we must give up being in charge of our lives and we must allow Him to be in charge. We don't call the shots, He does. We don't make the decisions, He does. We don't control the present, He does. We don't plan the future, He does. We bow to His will in every respect. Now, as I've already said, the extent of our identification with Him is total. He is in us completely, and we are in Him completely. We are identified with Him in His death. When Jesus died on the cross, we died there in Him. That's what Paul meant when he said, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. We were born with the nature of Adam. The Bible calls it the old man, the sinful, ungodly nature. The old man was put to death so that we could become new creations. That's what I mean by we died in Christ on the cross because the old man was finished once for all. The Bible says, if you trust in Jesus, behold, old things are passed away and all things become new. We become new creations in Christ. I read about a Christian who years ago made a trip to the Holy Land. And they were visiting Golgotha, where Jesus was crucified, the place of the skull. And the tour guide, seeing that this Christian was obviously excited, said to him, have you been here before? Although it was his first time to see the place where Jesus was crucified, his reply was this, "Oh yes, we've all been here before." "How long ago?" asked the guide. The believer quickly answered, "Well, it was more than 1,900 years ago." It's been more than 2,000 years ago now. That Christian was absolutely right. For when Jesus Christ died on that cross, which was driven into the ground of the place of the skull, we who know Him, we were there with Him positionally. Positionally. In Romans 6, the Bible says, "Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin." So we're identified with our Lord in His death. Then again, we are identified with our Lord in His resurrection. Baptism is such an eloquent picture of our identification with Jesus. It clearly portrays our identity with Him in His death, in His burial, and in His resurrection. Lord with Christ in baptism, and raised to walk in the newness of life. Listen to what Paul wrote in Romans 6:4. "Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so should we walk in newness of life." Now, in identification with His death, we are redeemed. In identification with His resurrection, we are recipients of all that His life means. Then again, third place, we are identified with our Lord in His victory. Jesus absolutely defeated Satan and all of his demons. He spoiled principalities and powers. He dealt a death blow to the kingdom of darkness. He led captivity captive. And because Jesus is in us, Christian, and we are in Him, we have defeated the devil. We have overcome every demon in Christ. Now, that may not always be our experience, but it will always be our position. And our position, listen, our position will always be our experience if we live on the basis of who we are in the Lord. Here's what I want you to understand, Christian. Don't let the devil push you around. Don't fear the devil, for he has been defeated by the Lord. And we do that, that's an act of faithlessness. It's an outright denial of our Lord to go around being afraid that Satan's going to do this, Satan's going to do that. I mean, He, our Lord, is the mighty overcomer. And we are mighty overcomers in Him. His victory, our victory. We are identified with our Lord in His authority and power. Does He have authority over the devil? Then we do. Are the demons subject to Him? Then they are subject to us. Does He possess the victory? Then so do we. Is He far above all principality, power, might, and dominion? Then so are we. Does heaven move and hell retreat at His command? Then so must heaven and hell respond to our desires. Now, are we overstepping our rights to make a statement like that? Not if we truly believe. As He is, so are we in this world. And if our desires are His desires manifested through us as we walk in the Spirit, we're going to see the Lord do great things through our lives. Jesus said this, "He who believes in me, the works that I do, he shall do also." Did you hear that, Christian? He who believes in me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And it's sad to say that most believers will never accomplish what they ought to accomplish in their lives. And that is because they do not operate in the authority which is theirs in Christ. And they do not operate in His authority because they do not live under His lordship. Oh, folks, I've preached it for years, and I just don't understand why so many Christians don't get it. We didn't get saved to live for Jesus in our own strength and to do our best for Him. We got saved so He could be Himself through our lives in the person and the power of the Holy Spirit. But He can't do that if we're going to keep self on the throne instead of allowing Him to sit on the throne of our hearts. We've got to surrender to the Lordship of Christ. Jesus be the Lord of all, of every kingdom in my heart. And that's when the Christian life becomes so powerful. When we walk with Jesus, as we ought to walk with Him, we're not going to be amazed at the presence of His power. We will be appalled when the presence of His power is absent. And we're going to make a beeline to Him to find out, Lord, what is going on? Holy Spirit, is there something that I've done wrong? And we're going to get to walking with Him once again. Finally, we will be identified with Jesus at His coming. Our identification with Him is past, present, and it's future. Now, by that I mean that His appearing at the end of the age will also be our appearing. His coming in glory will be our coming in glory. The Bible says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. We died with Him. We were buried with Him. We were raised with Him. We sit at this moment in the heavenlies with Him. That's what the Bible says. You're seated with Christ in the heavenlies. My friend Mickey Bonner used to say that when we get to heaven, we're going to find out that we're always there since we trusted Jesus, because we're in the heavenlies positional-wise, and one of these days we'll be there in our experience. And we will come with Him when all things are put under His feet with finality. Now, to enter into identity with Christ, you must acknowledge that you're a sinner if you've never done so. You must turn to Jesus in repentance, and you must accept Him as your Lord and Savior, whether you're seated in this auditorium or viewing this message on YouTube or Facebook. You must receive Christ in order for Christ to be in you with the miracle of the new birth and you to be in Christ. Now, if you're already a Christian, Pastor, I know the Lord, and you're not walking in the victory of your identification with Him, here's what you must do. You must possess your possession by faith. Don't live a discouraged and defeated life as a Christian. Take hold of the truth that's been declared to you today. Believe it and act on it. Rejoice in the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ, Christian, is in you and you are in Him. The doctrine of identification. As He is, so are all of us who belong to Him. Can you say praise the Lord with me? Praise the Lord. Say it again. Praise the Lord. And one more, glory to God. Glory to God. Let's stand together and bow our heads in prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Now, if you're here today in this auditorium, or you're viewing this message and you have never received Christ, we're going to give you the opportunity to do that right here and right now. Jesus wants to come into your heart, my friend, but He will not push His way in. We are not robots. God made us to love Him. And we have the choice of whether we're going to love Him and serve Him or whether we're going to reject Him. If you would like to receive Jesus Christ right now, let me help you pray to receive Him. Pray this prayer with me quietly. Pray these words. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner. I know that I have sinned in the sight of Holy God many, many, many times. But right here and right now, Jesus, I repent. I turn from sin and I turn to You. Jesus, I open the door to my heart. Come into my heart. Forgive me for all of my sins. Be my Lord and be my Savior. And Jesus, from this day forth, by Your grace and by the power of the Holy Spirit, I will live for You as the Lord of my life. Thank You, Jesus, for dying for me on the cross. Thank You, Jesus, for paying the penalty for all of my sins. Thank You, Jesus, for coming into my heart and saving my soul. I am now Yours, and You are now mine. In Jesus' name, amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You prayed that prayer. I'm going to ask you to step out in a moment during our invitation and walk right down here and let me share with you what you've done and what you need to do to walk with the Lord. If you're watching this message and you ask Christ into your heart, go find a Bible-believing, gospel-preaching church and follow the Lord in the first act of obedience for a new Christian, and that's baptism. So would you come right now? I'm right here at the front. I'm calling this the front, and here I am. So if you want to come, come. Your membership may be in another church, and the Lord's speaking to your heart. The Holy Spirit's saying, here's where I want you to serve me. Right here at Pine Drive Baptist Church. You can come by letter. You can come by your statement of faith in Christ. Come on. Right now. Let go and let God have